Some fintechs say they can be the maverick disruptor New Zealand's banking system is missing. These are digital services that offer more innovation when it comes to things like budgeting data, foreign exchange and transferring money. But the Commerce Commission says fintechs are struggling to get a foothold here, citing issues around data access, obtaining a business bank account and scaling difficulties. Revolut started in the UK in 2015 as a prepaid card with no transaction fees, and it's now expanded to offer wider banking services. Popular with New Zealand expats in London, it arrived here last July. It has 30 million customers worldwide. Dosh is a New Zealand fintech that offers a digital wallet, making it easy to split a bill or cap spending on certain things. Neither are registered banks, but they are both financial service providers, which means they must be registered as such and also be part of a disputes resolution service. With us first, Georgia Grange, who's Revolut's new head. Good morning.
Kia ora, how are we?
We're good. Well, I am. Anyway, you're going to tell us, if you would, about what Revolut offers, please, in terms of a suite of services.
Absolutely. So we are a digital money account that offers everyday spending, cards, international transfers, educational pieces, investment options, and more. We're an all-encompassing money app, and we don't limit our thinking to only traditional banking products. We're committed to enhancing the hauora, like well-being of Kiwis, and providing them with wider innovative solutions to help manage their money.
All right. Now, it started in London 2015, I think live in 40 countries, over 40 million customers, not registered as a bank in the UK, correct?
Correct. Yep, you've nailed it.
Okay. Let's look, and not registered as a New Zealand bank here. So let's look at what you offer and what you don't offer that a bank would. I've explained where you sit in the banking system, which is in that financial services tier. But what services do you offer? For example, do you take deposits?
Yeah, so you can top up your Revolut account digitally through either bank transfer or via a card. And then we've got your funds and you can use them on the Revolut app to either spend or save or spend overseas or what have you, or invest. That means we don't offer, with our financial services providing license, we don't offer interest saving on savings accounts currently, but you can use the cards just like you would with everyday spending so that you can track it on the budgeting and analytics side of things.
So no interest. You're mainly going to have your transactions account with you for at this level. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, for now. We've got big ambitions, but
okay,
for now, no.
We'll come back to that. So what do you offer on a transactions account that makes it worth having it with you rather than a bank that may pay some interest? What are the services you offer that banks don't?
Yeah, so our point of difference is we really reinvest our profits into delivering more products for Kiwis, and that's just to help people manage their money better. So you can see through our app, there's far more opportunities to secure your card when it comes to fraud and scams. We offer over 9 card controls and most of the banks only offer 2 or 3. And so our real point of difference is we really reinvest back into innovation in fraud and scams, but also other products. So you can use the cards digitally. You could have a card that is only the card's numbers can only be used once. So one time use, and then you're keeping your funds protected there. We also offer virtual cards, so they can only be used online. You can stop your card from being used at an ATM unless your phone is in 100 metres. Turn on and off online payments. And then we've also got the digital analytics and budgeting, which we feel is a real gap in the market for New Zealand. We really want to help Kiwis understand where they're spending their money, saving their money, whether they're at home or overseas. And our budgeting and analytics helps to play that back to Kiwis so that they can try to get ahead more financially. I've got like a limit. If I spend more than $20 on coffee a week, it will cut me off and I get notifications. So we've got lots of innovations like that just to help people manage their money better, which we feel is ever so important in New Zealand right now.
Okay, so the security, well and good, but we've already agreed you're probably at this level anyway. I know you've got an investments arm, we'll come back to that, but you're probably at this level anyway, going to have just incoming and outgoings if you're not getting any interest. The analytics is an interesting one because right now, not many, if any, of the main banks that I can think of will do that for you, will pie chart exactly where you are spending and or give you the ability to limit how much you spend on, say, coffee, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, let's look at other offerings. You do have investment options as well. Can you explain more, including investments into some of the bigger listed companies in the States, say? What's this part of your offering?
So far, in terms of our investments in New Zealand, the main one that we offer right now is crypto. We released that in December last year, so within 7 months of us being live. So that means you can buy and sell crypto and learn about cryptocurrencies through our courses that we offer on the app. So it's really seamless and secure if you've got your funds on the app there.
Okay, so do you have savings accounts as such? You said you can't pay interest because you're not a bank. So is there any point in having savings accounts with you?
Right now, it's great for if you're putting money to the side. Say if you and I were going to Europe together and we wanted to save 2,000 euro spending money, we could have both of us could be planning and siphoning off X euros when the exchange rate was favorable, and we can have that in a pocket there, ready to go for when we go to Europe and are able to spend it. So we don't offer interest right now, but we do have really big ambitions longer term. So it's more about carving that money off to the side, but you're correct, it wouldn't earn interest for now.
How do you make money with this business model? Banks make money in part by lending at a certain rate and then earning a higher rate on that, charging interest on that, and or making more on the interest that they charge than on the interest they pay out, for example. It's a very simplified example of one of the ways that banks make money, right? But they have that option of earning a higher interest rate by using your money. So how do you make money under this model if you don't have that option?
Yeah, so we have a subscription tier. And we released that in January this year. So that's our premium and metal offerings, which have monthly fees associated with them. So for instance, premium is $9.99 a month. And that's a really, it's a key revenue driver for Revolut. And that unlocks a whole lot more extended fee-free foreign exchange. You can withdraw further funds via ATM without having incurred fees. You can access lounge passes if you're traveling. So it extends past that traditional banking model. We really are motivated to help Kiwis understand the wider money picture. It's not necessarily just about fighting other banks on 0.01% of an interest rate. There's anything that can help make their money life easier. We have ambitions to grow that and from a lifestyle perspective in the app as well. So our subscription model is our main revenue driver currently.
Do you have a debit and credit card offering?
No, our card is technically a prepaid card, which operates exactly like a
Okay.
debit card. Yeah.
Is this mainly attractive at the moment to probably a younger demographic and particularly to those who are going to be mobile, who are going to be travelling or who are interested in making direct investments? They might be the sharesies kind of demographic. Would that be oversimplifying things or would it pretty much hit it on the head?
Yeah, it's because of the digital offering, it's really caters for anybody who's comfortable managing their money via a mobile app, which does often skew younger, but not going to lie, we've got a really wide, diverse range of ages on our Revolut app in New Zealand, which is great to see. Yes, Revolut started with the foreign exchange products, and so that's what we're mostly known for worldwide. However, in New Zealand, we're seeing a really high domestic spend use case, and I think that just goes to show to the Commerce Commission reports, opinions and draft report, there's a gap in terms of innovation here. So when Kiwis is jumping on the app and they're starting to see there's all these new features that help them manage their money better that might not be in the traditional banking landscape, they're picking that up really quickly and using that at home as well. Like the budgeting and analytics tools or splitting their bills when they're out dining, we're definitely seeing a lot of domestic use case spend as well.
How many customers do you have broadly in New Zealand?
I am not able to say that right now, sorry, but we are exceeding expectations, which has been fantastic. And by the time that we've been in market for 12 months, we would have exceeded $100 million worth of transaction volume.
Have you got in the tens of thousands?
Yes.
Georgia, the big ambitions, what do they hinge on?
We would really like to see a more favourable regulatory landscape for newer players like us and like Dosh and what have you to grow and expand our product offering. We see open banking as a real pivotal piece to that. And so we are in support of the Commission's findings so far in the draft report. And we'd really like to see increased competition. Whether it's us, whether it's Dosh or whoever, more competition equals more choice for Kiwis and better ways that they can manage their money.
Can you help with how open banking would help you? Would it mean that you would be an ancillary to someone having many of their accounts at one of the bigger banks, but the bigger banks would be required to enable you to access that data?
Yeah, so we'd have an API, which is almost like a pipe of information that would flow between the bank and ourselves or other players. And that would mean that they would be able to see information with regards to what customers were doing, what customers were holding on the Revolut app and vice versa. So it makes it a whole lot easier to choose where the best savings account is that suits you or what have you. You could move funds between the two very easily. And in a future state like data as well, you could start to see a one snapshot of where everything is. So your KiwiSaver, your everyday spending, your savings, your mortgage, one day from one app, you should be able to see all of that.
Do
in
you
one
hope
space.
To be yes. that app? Like, what is the end game for you here? I mean, obviously, if customers could, they would love to have, say, the data analytics service now offered by their major bank. And do you see yourselves as being the app of choice that customers can use for this? What's the end game?
Yeah, most definitely. I don't think there should be one app, though. I think all of us have a place to play here. And open banking will open that ecosystem up to multiple banks, fintechs, neobanks, what have you.
Are you seeking yes. registration, or would you like to get to the point of seeking registration as a bank?
Yeah, I don't think that is a secret. If you look at our banking licenses, applications and what have you overseas, it's definitely some of our ambitions worldwide.
Have you started any path towards that in New Zealand yet? And if not, why not?
Currently, we've spent more time investing into our product development. We really want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward there. We've released six features within 7 months in market, and we want to continue to do that. However, we are keeping, we're building really good relationships with the regulators from different angles. So we're being very collaborative and making sure that that pathway is there as well.
How many staff in New Zealand, Georgia?
So we've got a few staff in New Zealand, and we've also got the Australian department as well. So there's around five of us in NZ. And then we lean on our Australian team and then our London team as well with engineers and what have you overseas to help us build the app.
And just finally, before I come to our next guest, our next company who is slightly different, what would you need to see by means of regulatory change out of that Commerce Commission report to enable you the bigger role?
We'd really like to see the open banking timeline speed up a whole lot more. We'd
It's
like to
mid next year.
see.
Is it mid next year at the moment, isn't it? It's the ambition.
Yes, however, that's not going to be a full suite of high quality APIs. There's going to be a long tail to come after that. And we are similar to Dosh, and I'll let Shane speak for himself, but we do not feel like Payments New Zealand are necessarily the right organization to be designating the
Okay.
network.
Help us with Payments New Zealand. This is the big operation that actually does the physical transactions between all these, between the financial, the banks and others, correct?
Correct.
And why do you believe they're not the right people?
With the current board structure that Payments New Zealand have, there's a power imbalance designating the API centre and the development of open banking APIs. It raises a conflict of interest in that the banking executives, who are the board of Payments New Zealand, they know how fast their teams and core banking systems can handle innovation. So it's in their banking interest to slow things down, but it's in the payments industry best interest to speed things up. So we see a conflict there. And we'll only be as fast as our slowest horse with the current arrangement. We'd really like to see faster, more nimble innovation in Aotearoa.
API stands for Application Programming Interfaces. For the consumer right now, what does that mean in terms of the kit that's needed?
You could picture a pipe that goes from bank A to bank B, and that is a flow of information. So that it really enables Kiwis to get access to their banking
It's
data
simply
a whole lot more.
the secure sharing of information between different institutions and apps.
Absolutely.
Okay. Georgia, thanks very much. Georgia Grange, who is with Revolut. Let's introduce Dosh now. Shane Marsh is co-founder of Dosh. Before that, he'd been a banker at ANZ for more than a decade. Shane, good morning.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me on the show.
Look, you're welcome. Just looking at your offering, it seems to me to be a bit more like a digital wallet and debit card provider. So perhaps along the lines of Apple Pay and some of the other providers. Do you take any deposits at all?
Yeah, look, we started out as a digital wallet, but Dosh is a lot more than that now. So Dosh is a money app that enables customers to spend, save, and manage their money more easily. We're an account, an app that you can download and open an account within 2 minutes. You can deposit money into that account. You can order a debit card to be able to spend and use other innovative features such as splitting bills out at a restaurant. We offer savings accounts, which is our Strive accounts, which reward customers for growing their savings with bonus interest. And we have stashes, which are money management tools that enable customers to set up sub accounts such and allocate their money out for needs such as rent or groceries and help better manage their money.
Well, a little bit like having different accounts for different things, right? A bills account and a this account and a that account. Can I just check where you are then? As I understand it, you're again sitting at that tier of financial services provider, which requires you to be registered, and we checked, and you are on the register, and also to be part of a disputes resolution service. Can you pay interest then? Just clarify. I thought there was an issue with paying interest if you weren't a bank.
No, we pay interest. So we're a regulated provider in New Zealand. We pay interest on our Strive account. So a Strive account, you can open an app, you can give it a name and an emoji and a color. Say, for example, you can set up for a house deposit. You put your money in the account, and we pay 4.5%, 4.8% interest when you grow your savings each month. And we're seeing a really a lot of interest from customers. That rate of 4.8% is about 30 basis points higher than what the
Okay.
banks pay for similar accounts.
So, same question. How do you make money if you're not running a mortgage service, for example, and ensuring your margins are better on one than the other? And I appreciate that's a crude analysis of how banks make money, but how do you make money in order to pay that interest rate? Do you take deposits and invest them elsewhere?
No, we don't. So our deposits are held securely at a registered bank in New Zealand. That bank pays us an interest rate. We take a margin and then we pass the rest of the interest on to the customer. Dosh is building a digital bank in New Zealand. We see ourselves as that maverick provider. We've got large ambitions of what we want to do here in the market. terms of providing the world's best services to Kiwis to enable them to maximize their financial well-being.
Okay, I hear you. I'm still trying to understand how you make a profit. And if you are
Sure.
able to, if you are able to pay out 4.8% in interest, how do you make a profit having done that?
So the bank pays us more than 4.8% interest, so we take
Okay.
a margin on that. So
Which
that's
leaves someone
profit.
wondering why they wouldn't just put the money with that bank.
Yeah, look, the banks in New Zealand make great profits, right? So the banks made $7.2 billion in profit last year. 90% of that was with the top four Australian-owned banks. So the banks in New Zealand are highly profitable. They're more profitable per customer than they are in Australia. So, to George's point earlier, there's absolutely a competition issue in New Zealand. That has been articulated very well by the Commerce Commission in their report a couple of weeks ago. And there needs to be a lowering of barriers in the market and greater support for organisations
So,
such as
are
Dosh.
you essentially accepting a lower margin than a big bank would?
So we're
Are
accepting a
you
lower margin.
accepting a lower profit margin than a big bank would on a customer?
Look, we think we're making profit per customer, which we think is reasonable in the New Zealand market and doing the best for Kiwis. So I would suggest that some of the banks are making excess profits in New Zealand. We had one of the banks last year do a record profit of $2 billion through primarily increasing the margins that they charge customers. So we think there's absolutely room in New Zealand for players to come in and offer better value services that are innovative and digitally based. And that's what's lacking in the market here
Okay.
today.
A reasonable sized backer in Avanti Finance, is that correct? Have you got any other major investors?
Yeah, look, we've just completed our third investment round. We've got a range of private investors. As you can see, one of those in the latest round was Avanti Finance. Avanti Finance is New Zealand's largest consumer non-bank lender. They just won Non-Bank Lender of the Year at the New Zealand Mortgage Awards. We're really excited about the partners we have, both Avanti Finance, Visa, and a number of banks in New Zealand that support us to deliver the services that we do here. There's an absolute belief that there is a missing player in New Zealand, which is that organization which is innovative, customer focused, for us, very much focused on digital natives, so 18 to 34 year olds who want better value in digital innovative services.
So
And
tell
so
us
we have
what
a
some of
number.
those are that they won't get at a big four bank.
Yeah, look, there's a range of services that we've released that are innovative and new to market. For example, when you pay using your Dosh Visa debit card, you can just hit the split button and split that out to the other people around the table, and they can pay you back instantly. You can request to be paid in app and get paid back instantly. We have a cashback offer on our debit card, which is market leading. And we've got really great user experiences in app, which make it really easy to open accounts, personalize them, and use them to manage your money and grow your savings.
Do you have a buy now, pay later component?
No, we're not doing buy now, pay later, and it's not on our roadmap. I think, from my personal view, is I think buy now, pay later is on its way out. I'm not sure it's necessarily great for consumers. I know a lot of young persons who are new to credit have been exposed by that product, and we will be building out services which we think are in the best interests of Kiwis,
Do
and
you offer
ultimately.
a debt settlement? I thought I saw a debt settlement process though, where someone could settle their debt with a third party, and then settle with you. Did I misread that?
You might have misread that. We don't do lending today. However, watch this space. We see that there's a massive opportunity in New Zealand to provide a better home loan experience, particularly for those younger first home buyers that are struggling to get on the property ladder. We think there's opportunities to provide more innovative, disruptive services in that space, and ultimately give young people hope of getting on the property ladder.
How many customers at the moment? Would you be in the tens of thousands too?
Yeah, we're in the tens of thousands. We also process millions of dollars each week in terms of
Wouldn't you need bigger
claims.
backers if you're going to get into a mortgage market? And would you need to be any higher level of registration in order to do that?
Yeah, so it depends on how we structure that. But I suppose I would argue with the support of New Zealand's largest consumer, non-bank consumer lender and the support of the banks, we're in a great position to be able to offer services in this space, which we're looking to build out in the coming year.
Okay.
There is bigger questions, though. I agree around the opportunity to compete in the space under the current regulation by the RBNZ, which has some of the world's highest barriers to entry to operating in the banking industry.
Okay, thank you both. Let's bring in Claire Matthews now, expert in banking, associate professor at Massey University. Claire, we've only got about 5 minutes. I'm sorry, I'm just warning you of that in advance. So let's crack in. First of all, in terms of what consumers need to be aware of with non-bank lenders, as we said, they are at that financial services, they are registered and have, by far as we can see, met requirements at that level. But what do consumers need to think about?
Oh, well, consumers need to think about how much they do put with them, would be the fundamental point. At the moment, my understanding is that Dosh and Revolut are primarily a payment service. So that's a key part of their operation. And therefore, what you've got to think about is how much money do you need to have with them, because you haven't, because they're not registered banks and therefore don't have to meet the same capital requirements. There's a different type of risk. So therefore, you've just got to think about how much money you put with them and what that's going to do. Now, obviously, Dosh are saying that they can offer a really good interest rate because their funds are on deposit with a registered bank. So, you know, there's some security there because your funds are in, on deposit with actually a registered bank. Dosh are simply providing a platform for that, if you like. And if they start to get into more substantial borrowing and lending arrangements, so they're starting to encourage you to put more money with them, and also if they particularly get into lending, then they're going to have to become a registered deposit taker, and that will come with different registration and different regulatory requirements.
The other issue to think about coming down the track is the deposit guarantee scheme, not yet introduced, coming next year, and which providers are going to have access to that and not. So, look, that's just the proviso we'll put out there now. What do you see them bringing? Certainly, some of the services would be welcomed, and many would say are long overdue from other financial providers, Claire.
Certainly, it provides some different ways of managing your money and an ability to track your money more easily and more thoroughly. And therefore, there's some value in that. I have to admit, I'm probably the wrong generation. I'm struggling to see the value for me, but for a younger generation that do things in a different way, the ability to do everything in a digital world is going to be of use because it just all brings it together. And anything we can do that makes it easier for people to manage their money and to better understand their money is definitely something that we want to
So,
encourage.
would open banking be the first step to at least people you allow people to use these apps alongside perhaps their more conventional bank?
I guess I'm actually struggling with how open banking would actually enhance what Dosh and Revolut are doing. I know that they see that
They'd
as
get
as an
access to your and my
advantage, but
accounts, Claire. They'd get access to those who aren't 18 to 34, because we want the analytics that they can do, and the open banking, the API, when it's sufficiently introduced, will require institutions to share when I tell them to.
Oh, absolutely. And but there are other ways of doing the analytics. And for me personally, I don't see the analytics as being of particular value, but for other people, absolutely. And so, yes, if it makes it easier for people, for somebody to access their money at a bank and at multiple institutions and to kind of bring it all together, there is value in that. Absolutely. But it's a matter of whether that's of value to an individual, and it will be to some, obviously to you, and not so much to others. Someone like me.
The travelling stuff is interesting as well, and the sort of costs you hit up when you're trying to access your money overseas. Do you see these as the sort of disruptor, the sort of maverick that the Commerce Commission is talking about, or are we going to take? It actually talked about rolling disruption when you read that report more thoroughly.
Oh, absolutely. As as time goes on, as digital services develop, as innovation comes along, there will be changes. Certainly in terms of Revolut, I'd see that international transaction element to their wallet seems to be something that would be attractive, and trying to understand how that works would be an advantage. And if you're somebody who is travelling, particularly in multiple countries, that would be something that would be of value. But you're right. Revolut and Dosh are existing players, are existing innovators, but as things become more open, you would expect to see others there, and there will be stuff going on that we're not aware of at the moment. So there are players that are trying to develop things, and it's a matter of bringing it to market.
Thanks very much, Claire Matthews, Associate Professor at Massey University.